Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning service at Thompson Road Baptist Church. We're glad you're with us today. I trust that you've been encouraged by the reading of the scriptures and the songs by Mac Lynch and Ron Hamilton. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Well, a little over a week ago on Wednesday, I experienced something that I don't think I've experienced before in my life, except maybe once as a kid. During the Wednesday night youth group Zoom meeting that I was having with the teens, we all of a sudden heard the tornado warning alarms going off. You probably heard them too where you are. And so once we heard those, figured out what was going on, we quickly, abruptly shut down the meeting with the teens and had to run and take shelter in our house. And my first reaction was actually, I want to go outside and see how windy it is outside. But I knew that wasn't exactly prudent. So we just went to our room and spent some time praying and asking for the Lord's protection. And it was quite a strange thing, I will admit, to hear the wind as strong as it was. You know, something like you would hear in a movie, a sound effect for a movie of the wind blowing so strong. And maybe you've heard the wind blowing like that more often than I have, and it's nothing to you. Perhaps you've been through other natural disasters, maybe an earthquake, or if you've lived down on the East Coast for any amount of time like I have, maybe you've been in a hurricane, as I've been in several hurricanes. Maybe even just running errands around in the city, and you know driving along on the way to the store or from somewhere, it all of a sudden starts raining really hard. Especially if you're on the interstate, that can be kind of frightful. What do you do during those times of fear, when circumstances beyond your control are raging up against you? You know, even today we face a health crisis that it's impacted our world in a way that we have not seen for a while. And what do we do during those times of fear? Today we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about fear. And we will see that Christians must trust the Lord and not be afraid. We will see that because of the Lord's faithfulness, you must not be afraid. So let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 1. In Deuteronomy, it's really a book of remembrance. As you think about what's going on here in the stage, it's Moses, at the end of his life, when he knows he's about to die, he recounts Israel's history, basically from Mount Sinai till this present point, as they're about to enter into the Promised Land with Joshua as their new leader. And there's a common theme in the book. There's several themes that go through the book. But one of the common themes is that they must remember what God has done for them. And as a result, not be afraid. So let's read in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and begin in verse 19. And we departed from Horeb, and we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which he saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain, and came into the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. And ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that as we look at your word, that you would please give me the words to say, and that we would see clearly the truth you have for us, how we are to not be afraid, that we can trust in you, we can have courage. I pray that our focus would be on you and not on what's going on around us as we think of Peter, who was out walking on the Sea of Galilee, but then he saw the waves and took his eyes off of you and began to sink. I pray that we would not have fear, but we would keep our eyes on you. I pray that this message would be an encouragement and a challenge to every one of us, that we don't have to be afraid, that we should not be afraid, but we must trust in you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we look here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, in the verses we just read, we twice see in this passage that God commands his people to not be afraid. We see this in verse 21 and 29. At the end of verse 21, it says, "Fear not, neither be discouraged." Verse 29, Moses said, "Dread not, and neither be afraid of them." Now, there's the main word there for fear is yair, and it is the most common word in the Old Testament for fear, in the most general. And it has the idea of to be afraid, revere, or honor. And it could include the idea of dreadful or terrifying. Sometimes it's translated that way, but usually that's reserved for one of the more specific, intense words, like be not discouraged, which is also be not dismayed or shocked. In verse 29, dread not. Those are different words that are more intense or just a different word for fear. But this word, fear not, and then verse 29 says, neither be afraid of them. This word occurs some 314 times in the Old Testament. And again, it's used to refer to the fear of something or someone. And sometimes it's used in reference to how we ought to fear the Lord. So as we study this topic of fear, the first point I want us to look at is you must beware of the dangers of fear. Fear often leads to wrong actions. Now, there's a good kind of fear, obviously, as we think of, we should have a healthy respect and fear of dangerous situations like poisonous snakes or playing a game out in the middle of the road. Those are things that we should be fearful of. But there is a progression of sin that often occurs when we are afraid of things that God has told us to not be afraid of. Fear often leads people to gambling, drugs, and alcohol, or other rash behaviors. Kids, if you've seen Bambi, you remember that there's that part where the hunters are coming after all the critters in the forest, and they're trying to get them, and there's that group of pheasants, there's birds that are hiding in the tall grass, and they're all afraid, but one of them is especially afraid and saying, "We should fly away," and everybody else is like, "No, don't fly, they'll see you." But what does the bird do anyway? Her fear gets the better of her, and she flies away, and she gets shot. Well, oftentimes, our sin leads us to rash actions and disobedience. So let's look at some examples of the dangers of fear. We've already seen it here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, but we're going to look at the parallel passage in verse 14. In verses 1 through 4, just to paraphrase what's going on here, the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, the people wept, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And they complained and they said, "We wish to God that we had just died in the land of Egypt or in the wilderness." And then they complained, "Why has God brought us into this land to fall by the sword that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into the land of Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt." And then in verse 9, Moses replies and says, "Rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land." That word fear is the same one used in Deuteronomy. "For they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not," a second command. "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregations before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them?" So here you have a situation where Israel is faced, they're going into the promised land. And one of the dangers of fear is that fear is contagious. We won't dwell on this long, but you can see how the 12 spies, kids, you remember that song? 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Well, those 10 spies, they came back with a bad report. They said, "Yeah, it's a good land, but we can't take it. We're just grasshoppers." And their fear spread to the rest of the congregation. You know, it's interesting that God actually tells Israel during times of war, certain times during war, that they were to go home if they were afraid. If there were any among them, they should go home if they were afraid. You see this in whenever the Lord told Gideon to go out against the Midianites. He said, "Hey, if anybody's afraid, send them home." And there's several things that we could conclude from that, why God said that. One of them being that with fewer numbers, God would get greater glory. And that's why he had to tell Gideon, even after that first wave of people going home, he said, "Look, your army is still too big. We need to get rid of some more people." Okay, so that's one aspect of it. But the other aspect of it is, I think we could conclude that God doesn't want those who are fearful to infect the others. Those that may not be afraid, and it's like, "Well, I wasn't afraid now, but now that you come up with all these bad reasons of why we should be afraid, I am afraid now." And God doesn't want that. So fear is contagious. But not only is fear contagious, fear often leads to unbelief. And this is the first step of the progression. You see this here in verse 11 of Numbers 14. He says, the Lord says unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me?" He says, how long is it going to take for them to believe me that I can deliver them into the promised land? After everything I've done, they should believe me. But the Israelites' fear led to unbelief. They said, "We can't do this. We can't go into the promised land. We're nothing but grasshoppers. Why did God lead us out here to die?" And that's the next part of the progression. Fear leads to unbelief, and unbelief often leads to complaining, and here specifically, accusing God. Think of everything that God has done for them. As you look, they start complaining that they had just died in Egypt, and they start accusing God in verse 3 of chapter 14 in Numbers. Why would God lead us out here just to die in the wilderness, to die at the hand of the Amorites? And they basically say the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 1. They were discouraged about what was going on, and they started complaining and accusing God. In verse 27, we say that in Deuteronomy chapter 1, "Ye murmured in your tents because the Lord hated us." After all God has done for them, brought them out of the land of Egypt, taken them across the Red Sea, and provided them time and time and again with enough food, and they're complaining. It's because God hated us. No, on the contrary, God loved them. But their fear led to unbelief, and their unbelief led to complaining and accusing God. And ultimately, it leads to rebellion and disobedience. And that's what Moses says to them in Numbers 14:9. "Rebel not against the Lord." Don't do this. You're rebelling against the Lord. You're disobeying the Lord. And he tells them twice there, "Don't be afraid. Fear not." You see this progression of fear, unbelief, complaining, and disobedience. And that basic progression of fear and complaining, or fear, unbelief, and disobedience is found elsewhere in Scripture. You think of Saul, 1 Samuel 13, 7 through 14. we see that Saul offers a sacrifice before Samuel arrives. And Samuel told him, wait for me. But Saul didn't do it. He sees that the people are starting to scatter, and we don't see that word for fear specifically, but we can deduce that Saul is getting restless, and he's getting fearful. And so what happens? His fear led to unbelief and not trusting God. He should have trusted God and waited on God's timing, that God knows exactly when Samuel should arrive, and whenever it is God's perfect time for Samuel to arrive, he will. But Saul couldn't see that. Saul's unbelief led him to doubt God. And so because of his unbelief, what did he do? He offered the sacrifice without Samuel, and he acted rashly, taking matters into his own hands, which is ultimately disobedience. 1 Samuel 15:24, we see again, Samuel charges Saul with not obeying the Lord fully and keeping alive Agag and the best of the sheep. And what does Saul say? I feared the people. Saul had a misplaced fear of the people. He had a fear of man. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And so because of Saul's fear, it led to disobedience. You even see him doing something that he shouldn't have, consulting the witch of Endor. Witchcraft was condemned by God. And yet here Saul, out of fear near the end of his life, consults a witch to find out, to try to get in touch with Samuel. Well, we also see other miscellaneous situations of people's fear resulting in unbelief and disobedience. Abraham and Isaac's fear led them to lie about their wives. They didn't trust in God's goodness and his promises, and so they took matters into their own hands because of their fear. We see instead of trusting God, King Ahaz's fear in 2 Kings 16 led him to make an alliance with Assyria whenever he was the northern Israel tribes were coming up against him with the Syrians. And so Ahaz, out of fear, runs to, gets the Assyrians to come and help him fight them off. But we see in Numbers 10:9 that the Israelites were to remember God in their time of trouble. They were to remember God and trust that he would deliver them from invaders and not go after other foreign countries and nations to help them in their troubles. They were to trust in God. And so we've seen this, the dangers of fear, that it's contagious, and there's a progression of fear to unbelief and then often complaining or rash behavior, which ultimately is disobedience. And not only must we beware of the dangers of fear, but we must also realize God's command about fear. What's God's command about fear? Well, maybe if you think back to times that you were learning to drive, whether you took driver's ed or maybe your parents taught you. I took driver's ed in North Carolina. It was required at the time, and I think it still is. There were times that my instructor had to tell me to not be afraid. And it was because I would get to a road and where it was time to turn, right or left, and I would wait till I didn't see any cars coming at all. And it's like, okay, he's like, don't be afraid, you can go, you'll beat them out. And it wasn't a matter of even beating them. It's like, oh, I just barely saw them coming around the curve. Or sometimes he had to tell me to not be afraid and go faster because it was my first time on the interstate and I still didn't want to go over 50 and the speed limit's 70, and that can actually be kind of dangerous. So he told me, push it on up to 70, don't be afraid. Well, as we look at God's commands about fear, let's ask the question, why should we not fear? Why should we not fear? Aside from the dangers and the sin that often results from our fear, why should we not fear? Well, first and foremost, and most obviously, it's because God commands us to not fear. Don't be afraid. The word Ya'er, as we already said, occurs over 300 times in the Old Testament, and approximately 69 times of those occurrences are times where God says, or somebody else says, don't be afraid. Because God is with you, or God is going to do something great for you. We see it 9 times in Deuteronomy. It's 15 times in Isaiah. Genesis 15:1, God says to Abraham, don't be afraid. God to Hagar says, don't be afraid. Genesis 21:17. God to Isaac, Genesis 26:27. God to Jacob, Genesis 46:3. Moses to Israel, Exodus 14:3. God to Joshua, and then Joshua to Israel. God to Gideon, Elisha to his servant, and in 2 Kings 6:16, when the Syrians had surrounded them, and Elisha could see that there was a host of angels surrounding the Syrian army, but his servant couldn't see that. So Elisha told him not to fear and asked God to open the eyes of his servant. We see Isaiah saying to Hezekiah to not fear, 2 Kings 19:6. The Spirit of God through a man said to Jehoshaphat to not fear. 10 times in the Psalms we see either a command to not be afraid or a resolution by the psalmist that he will trust in God when he is afraid. Psalm 56:3-4 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Here in Deuteronomy, as I said, 9 times we see this word for fear in reference to a command to not be afraid. We see it, we've already seen it in verse 21 and 29 of chapter 1, how they were to not fear the Amorites. Paraphrasing some of these commands in the context of each verse, we see in Deuteronomy 3:2, to fear not the king of Bashan, Og. In verse 22, ye shall not fear the kingdoms Israel passes through. 7:18 says, thou shalt not be afraid of all the peoples of the nations. Verse 1 in chapter 20 says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid. Verse 3 says, fear not enemies in battle. Then in verse 6 and 8 of chapter 31, he says, to not fear the nations over the Jordan. So clearly, God commands us not to be afraid. But not only that, to not be afraid, but there's also the opposite. God commands us to not be afraid, but also to actually be courageous and have courage. The word for courageous means to be brave, be strong or bold, to be alert, to strengthen, or be determined and make firm. It can also be used in reference to harden or make obstinate. And 13 times out of the 41 times in the Old Testament, this word is used to refer to a command to be courageous. We see Moses commanding Joshua to be courageous in Deuteronomy 31:6-7. And in verse 23, they all say something along the lines of, be strong and of a good courage. And Joshua is told by God in Joshua 1, 6, 7, and verse 9, to be strong and of a good courage. I'm going to turn there because these are such good verses, even though they're well known. Verse 6 of Joshua 1 says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, a second time, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And verse 9, again he says, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, our word for our fear that we're talking about, neither be thou dismayed or discouraged. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And he repeats that command to Joshua later in verse 18. And then Joshua repeats this same command to Israel in Joshua 10:25. David says it to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 22:13 and chapter 28:20. He says to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, he is with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The psalmist says, "The Lord will strengthen you, so be courageous," according to Psalm 27:14. We read from Psalm 27 this morning. And then we have a similar statement in Psalm 31:24. God, through Isaiah, says to Israel in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee." So God gives these reasons why Israel should not be afraid. And it's because I'm saying, I have a command. I have commanded you to not be afraid. And I have commanded you to be courageous. So that's why you shouldn't be afraid. But here, I'm going to give you as well reasons why you don't have to be afraid. And that's because God promises to fight for Israel. These are the specifics. This isn't just theoretical, like God is saying, "Hey, don't be afraid," but there's no basis for it. It's just kind of a weightless command. No, there's reasons behind why God says to Israel to not be afraid. There's reasons why they could trust in God, and that's because God promises to fight for Israel. Exodus 14:13-14, Moses said unto the people, "Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." In Deuteronomy 3:22, Moses again says, "Ye shall not fear them, the nations in the promised land. For the Lord your God, he shall fight for you." So God promises to fight for Israel. But not only that, he also promises deliverance. Joshua 10:8-25 both say, the Lord said unto Joshua, "Fear them not, I have delivered them into thine hand. And there shall not a man of them stand before thee." And then in verse 25, Joshua now says unto the Israelites, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage. For thus shall the Lord God do to all your enemies against whom ye shall fight." God's going to give you the victory. He's promised that. And God tells Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:8 to be not afraid of their faces. "For I am with thee, and I am able to deliver thee, saith the Lord." So God promises to fight for Israel. And he promises to deliver Israel. But that's such a comfort, the most comforting part about that is that God also promises to be with Israel. He's going to give them the victory, yes, but in the whole time, he's going to be with you. And what a comfort that is, to know that God is with you. Just as you may find it comforting to be with family members, even though the world is raging on right now, as I talked about last week, how maybe, you really want to be with a certain family member to either comfort them or be comforted by them and by their presence. We can ultimately trust in God because he is our shepherd and he is with us and he will always be with us. Deuteronomy 31:6-8 say, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Verse 8, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Jeremiah 42:11 also says, "Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand." And that same God that promised deliverance to Israel, promised to fight for Israel, and promised to be with Israel, is the same God that is with you today. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, we've looked at the dangers of fear, and we've looked at God's command about fear. And the final point is that you must obey God's solution to fear. You know, the world is always looking for solutions for fear or ways to ease our fears. You know, it may come through various products, especially insurances. I get insurance mail all the time, and it goes straight into the trash can. They could have saved that paper, you know. They're always advertising, you can have rest and ease with our insurance whenever you go with our plan. Or maybe a financial institution or retirement account advertises that you can be sure your money is safe with us, and we'll grow it to 10 times the normal rate, more than your neighbor, or whatever. Those are all man's solutions for fear. But what's God's solution for fear? Well, we've already seen this first point, but the first solution for fear is the opposite: to be courageous. His command to have courage. He commands us to have courage and be strong, and he will be with us and he will help us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And if I could add on there, and of a courageous mind. We don't have to be afraid. God has given us a sound mind, a spirit of, not of fear, but of power and of love. So we're to have courage. That's the first solution for God's fear, and we've looked at that a lot already. Well, the second solution is to remember. Remember. Remember what God has done for you. So you look back at your life, I'm sure you can think of ways that you've seen God provide for you, especially if you've been at this whole life thing longer than me. You can think of how God has provided for you and been good to you and strengthened you. As you think of the word remember, the word that is used often for remember in the Old Testament is zakher. And it occurs some 236 times in the Old Testament. And it means to remember or recall or call to mind or make mention. It's kind of the idea of intentionally remembering something. It's not just that, oh, I just happened to remember what I had gotten for my birthday last year randomly. No, it's you know, your wife has said, I need you to get something from the store on the way home. Don't forget. And so all day you're really trying to remember. You've got several reminders on your phone because you're actively trying to remember it. That's more so the idea behind this word. It's used over 30 times to call Israel to remember what God did for them, or even to remember their own failures to obey God. And this word is used 12 times this way in Deuteronomy alone, which again is a book of remembrance as Moses recounts their history from Mount Sinai. So what are we to remember? Well, we are to remember God's works. We see Moses telling Israel in Exodus 13:3, he says unto the people, "Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place." Remember, don't forget that God is the one that did this, not you. Deuteronomy 7:17-18 says, "If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose thus them? Then shalt not thou be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all of Egypt." So Moses is saying, whenever you're afraid, remember what God did for you. Remember how he brought you out of the land of Egypt. We see a negative use of this in chapter 9, verse 7 of Deuteronomy. He says, "Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until thou ye came unto this place, ye have been rebellious against the Lord." He's saying, you guys, don't forget about the fact that ever since we got out of Egypt, you guys have been rebelling against the Lord. Don't forget about that. We need it. And we see a negative use in Judges 8:34, how Israel did not remember what God had done for them. We see in the Psalms, Psalm 63:6, how the psalmist says that he would remember God and what he had done for him at night when he worried. Psalm 77:11 says, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy works of old." Psalm 105:5, "Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." Nehemiah reminds the Israelites of what God has done in Nehemiah 4:14. Isaiah uses this word 5 times in his book. And Jonah remembers what the Lord has done in it when he's in the fish's belly. All these verses call attention to the things that God has done. And you think of the marvelous works of God's hands. We think we can't go anywhere without considering creation and the wonders of creation and God, how God brought all these things about. And so we can trust in Him. We don't have to be afraid. I remember when I was a kid, actually I don't remember this, but my Aunt Sherry, one of her favorite memories of me as a kid was one time she was babysitting us, and I guess it had been storming outside, and I was right around that 3 to 4 year old age where you're really starting to understand thunder and lightning, and it's kind of scary. She said to me, "God made the thunder. We don't have to be afraid." Well, a short while later, she saw me out on the porch I was watching the rain, and it was thundering and lightning, and I was holding our kitty cat, Blackie, and I was petting him, and she overheard me telling Blackie, "God made the thunder. We don't have to be afraid." And so even as a little kid, I was being taught how God is in control of everything in the earth. He's in control of creation, and so we can trust in Him. So not only should we remember God's works, but we should also remember God's character and His promises. Psalm 71:16 says, "I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention," that's the word for remember, or "I will make remembrance of thy righteousness, even of thine only." We have to also go to Lamentations chapter 3. This is such a great passage. As Jeremiah in verse 21 says how he's remembering all the bad things that has happened to Israel because of their sin and the judgment that they deserved. In verse 20 says, "This I recall to my mind." This is a different word. It means to return or bring back to his mind. But it's essentially the same idea of remembering the goodness of the Lord. "Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." And then we have in Hebrews 13:3 a promise from God that's really echoing so many other promises from the Old Testament. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He's quoting Old Testament promises, and we've already read some of those. How Moses or David or whoever has been saying, "I am not going to leave you. I will not forsake you. Even though you often forsake me, I am not going to leave you." And God is going to be there for you. God is going to take care of you. And the third part of God's solution for fear is to pray. You know, I wonder if we view our fear as God does. Do we take it seriously? Do we take seriously God's command to not fear? And He tells us so many times, as we've seen, to not be afraid. And yet, we often allow ourselves to be plagued by fears and worry. And that's wrong. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, or be anxious, or fearful of nothing. But in everything," this is the proper response, "by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Psalm 118, verse 5 says, "I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place." Jeremiah 33:3, another well-known passage, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." So do you pray whenever you are afraid? Do you take your troubles to the Lord? This leads us to our final solution for fear, and it's really something that's intertwined with the others, so it's hard to even separate it from them. But the final solution is to trust in Him. We all know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So we can be courageous because we can trust in Him who's trustworthy. When we remember God's works and His character, we will remember that we can and must trust in Him. And as we pray, we are displaying our trust and reliance upon Him. So following these steps will help you, by God's grace, live every day with complete trust and reliance upon God. As Isaiah says in chapter 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Does that describe you today? Whenever you go through times of fear and doubt, are you trusting God during those times and nothing else? Whenever you go through this health crisis that we've never faced before, and maybe you feel like the walls are coming in on you, both literally and metaphorically, with maybe you feel like you're going crazy being in your house all the time, or maybe the concerns about your health or the economy are really getting to you, do you respond the proper way with courage as God commands us to? Do you respond with trust and prayer as you remember everything God has done for you? I trust that these passages that we've read, and we've read a lot of Scripture today, but I trust that they've been an encouragement to you, that we don't have to be afraid, nor should we be afraid. And instead, we should remember what God has done. So my challenge to you today is to purpose in your heart, by God's grace, to trust in Him and pray to Him whenever you find yourself afraid, and remember all God has done for you.